The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and joined by my two co-hosts today, Nathan Gladwell and Gray Oldenburg. Nathan, I know you've been chomping at the bit to get to this story episode over the weekend. you definitely do love these stories when you get through them. It's a food story. So KFC announced that the Cheeza is releasing nationwide on February 26th, which is today as we're recording this video on Monday, February 26th. The Cheeza consists of two fried chicken fillets topped with zesty marinara sauce, melty mozzarella, and crispy pepperoni. Are we trying this, guys?
Man, I mean, they just picked some of the worst people to come up with food ideas. If I was in charge of like a company coming up with new menu items, I could do 10 times better than this. I mean, they're just throwing crap around. No, I will not be trying this out. So you always pick the worst stuff to put on this. And honestly, KFC has been out of the game for a while. They don't even have the best chicken anymore. I think Popeye still does a better job than they do. So they're kind of losing that battle. But I mean, let's be honest, PepsiCo doesn't really care about what all KFC does. And this is just another thing to get people to buy that still eat at KFC. I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, I agree. This is not something that I'm going to be personally trying. My like for KFC has just kind of dwindled down throughout the years of my life. I used to like it when I was a kid, I guess.
I guess at the end though, because you never truly liked it. It's just like, oh, it's
exactly
something to eat.
Exactly. It's such a. It's you've got to be in the exact mood for KFC to actually go out and.
I don't think there's a mood for KFC.
Think about chicken.
Yeah. You don't wake up one day. It's like, man, you know what I really want right now? I want some KFC. KFC.
I mean, if you're constipated, I guess you want some KFC.
When you think about chicken,
KFC. Easier to go through with that.
KFC is like maybe 12th or 13th on my list when I think about if I want chicken somewhere. So no, I'm not going to try this. There's a reason this started out in Taiwan and India and places where they just throw random stuff together for food and they try it. So that's what happened here. And then they think it's so good, they're going to bring it to the United States.
I think the real question is how many of KFC's restaurants are actually freestanding and not some combo between Taco Bell or whatever other crap that is near them or they're like the side of the convenience store.
I know ours, the closest one to where we live is the one closest to the gas station. Like it's attached to the gas station.
Where? I don't know where that is.
It's off 119, you know, where all that stuff is, McDonald's, Captain D's, Hooters, Applebee's.
Yeah, sorry. I don't pay attention to KFC at all. 2012. The one by the Captain D's, the one by the other irrelevant fast food chain. Got it.
Just strip of irrelevant fast food chains, KFC, Captain D's, and some other stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. I know there's an Applebee's there. We can get into that another time.
we could have a whole day of stories about Applebee's and how we do not appreciate their contributions to society. I'll take a Coca-Cola, ma'am. Brings me four waters.
Here's your water, sir. Trying to get Alex to drink more water, I see.
I guess it worked out because it's what I drink nowadays is water.
It's good. It's good water.
All right, let's move on to... another debate here, the court storming situation this past weekend, following their 83-79 winning against number 8 Duke, Wake Forest fans stormed the court, and one fan, whether you want to say Kyle Filipowski tried to trip him or he ran into Kyle Filipowski, they collided. Kyle Filipowski started limping, had to be helped off the court. Filipowski and head coach John Shire were not very appreciative of what happened. The Wake Forest head coach agreed with Shire on the fact that court storming really should not be a thing. Do y'all agree that court storming should be allowed or field storming should be allowed in college sports?
You know, for me, this is hard.
This is a perfect person to talk on this topic too, Alex.
Exactly, because I am so against Duke University and John Shire and especially Kyle Filipowski. Screw that guy. So I love this when it happened. Like, obviously, I wish he's – I hope he's okay because he's a good basketball player and stuff. But, like, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it when Duke got beat. I loved it when Wake Forest rushed the court. And I loved it when John Shire was complaining the entire press conference afterwards. So, no, I'm not probably the right person to talk about this, but I'm going to expand it to, like, this could happen to anybody. This could happen to Auburn. This could happen to Alabama, especially these teams that are really, really good and have been really, really good recently. You go on the road, it's hard to win on the road anyway. Go on the road against a team that should not beat you, and they beat you. And that's just what students want to do because that's what you do in football.
The field
or whatever. So
it, can't relate.
I don't think it's y'all are lame. y'all don't have anybody to beat.
What are you talking about? It's talking about being the standard of college football.
They were going to storm the field this past Iron Bowl, Nathan. Then what happened?
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was actually the perfect time. If it was like my recollection, right, you were actually like making your way down towards the field.
That's true. That's true. So I'll take that.
He has an irrelevant opinion on this topic.
He's not irrelevant. He's just
looking more, about. But yeah,
it's no, a biased opinion.
Looking about this as a whole thing in terms of players' safety, the way you fix it without making everybody angry and making all the fans angry, especially these smaller schools, especially in basketball, is you let the players leave the court first and then let the fans rush. It's that simple. That's what they used to do in the early 2000s, and it worked. Nobody got hurt. Everybody loved it. If somebody got hurt, it was a stupid drunk student falling over the hedges into Jordan Harris hedges after the kick six. So it's not a thing that I think should be taken away, but I do think there should be like a safety precaution there.
Yeah, Alex is just over there waiting for my comments in this. He was just chomping at the bit. Look, in order to not have court touring, how about you just win the game? I mean, that's just going to be where I start. Your team just needs to win the game. I go through this every single time as an Alabama fan. Every time a team rushes the field against us, how about we just win the game? Ever thought of that? Well, going away from that, football is a little bit different. Player safety with football, they're already wearing pads. They are more protected than a college basketball player would. The only issue I have with college basketball court storming is the fact that injuries are a lot more prevalent to happen. Let's say like leg injuries. A lot of people in one area, you're probably to get like trips like Kyle Filipowski did, and he's hurt because of it. Leg injuries suck, especially when you had to run up and down the court for an extended period of time. It shouldn't have happened. There should be better player safety. But then again, I'm looking at this from a fan perspective. Court storming is it adds another some oomph to college basketball. It's something that only happens once in a while when a top tier program, let's say a blue blood, gets upset. You see, this is what happens with Duke. It can happen in North Carolina. It can happen basically any blue blood you can pick. Whenever something like this happens, there's big implications. I mean, Wake Forest is trying to make a NCAA tournament bid, and this is one of the games they wanted to steal at home, and they did. It's huge for their tournament chances. And you know, as a student, you kind of get caught up in the moment and say, let's just make the best of this moment. But looking at it from like at the perspective now, you can wait a few days and talk about it. It's just like this really shouldn't happen all the time, but it's harder to prevent that in the moment. I mean, I was watching the Kansas State game versus Kansas a few weeks ago when Kansas was playing at Kansas State, and it was a big upset. But the whole message was to act like you've been there before and act like you're supposed to win games like that. I think that's something that like your coach should approach that idea to the fans. Like, we are supposed to win games like that. We're not supposed to like treat games like this like an upset. This is a game we're supposed to win, and I like that. And you know, that prevented the court storming, and it takes all the fun out of it, I know, for fans. But from a perspective, like 2 days after, no one got hurt, and you move on to the next game.
Yeah, and I think Gray's proposal of you let the players and coaches of the opposing team get off floor, that's easier said than done, because fans, like the Auburn fans, They were already at the tunnel with, what, 45 seconds left to go in the game. So they're already prepared to go. And for you to be able to stop them from going onto the field is a whole different thing, because you're going to have increased security, have security that actually does their job, and just stand there, stick their arms out and say, nope, you can't go, no, sorry, and they just go right past them. So that's a whole thing that these schools are going to work out. Hey, we have to get actual security to prevent these fans from getting onto the field or the court.
Yeah, and like a basketball court is so much different from like a football stadium, because football stadiums most have like fences around the actual field. But the basketball court, it's just, you can just run on down there. So how are you going to prevent that? You need to hire a lot more security in order to stop that.
Yeah, and if you don't want to go that route, you want to say, hey, no more court storming. I think Nathan's proposal of, hey, you get the coaches to talk to the fans and say, hey, let's act like you've been here before. That might work some of the time, like it did with Kansas State. Might not work for other teams.
It's not foolproof.
Yeah, it's not foolproof. I think Jay Billis earlier today proposed that, hey, you start arresting these fans on the court, say, hey, you're getting arrested for trespassing or whatever they want to classify it under, and fans won't rush the court or field anymore.
You're going to arrest every single fan that rushes the court?
That's just what Jay Billis said. I mean, I don't think there's a right answer to this, but there needs to be some sort of improvement made, especially when you have conferences like the ACC that doesn't have a fine for storming the court at all. So there's no repercussions for the school or the fans or anybody when they rush the court or the field. I know the SEC does. There's some other conferences that have sort of leeway in their fine.
They just pay the fine.
Yeah. I think
no names, though.
Pocket change.
I think if they want to sort of have a stipulation on that fine is, hey, you either increase the fine to some astronomical number where schools are like, yeah, don't think I want to be paying that. Let's just hire extra security and let's just deal with that way. Or I don't want to say teams forfeit the game, because that's the fans thing they're doing. That's not the players. I don't think that's the route you go at all. You can't punish the players at all or the team for that. I don't know a way you punish the fans other than you arrest them, or because you can't just say, hey, no fans allowed at the next game. So once again, that punishes the players. So I think there has to be a way where you get increased security at these games, because as of right now, like I said, security just doesn't give a crap. They just say, okay, go on. Here you go.
Yeah. And that should be a huge priority. Like, because that's not, at that point, it has nothing to do with just win the game or something like that. Yes, just win the game. But when you do get beat, that should be a major, the player safety should be a major priority for not just the home team, but also the away team. The away team should be allowed to bring their own security for that as well, in the case of that were to happen. Because when Duke lost this game, the buzzer sounded, Wake Forest fans all came on.
There was a guy on the court with like 0.6 seconds left. He was already there.
They started running out there before the buzzer sounded. That has got to change.
Yeah, I think letting the players get off the court is going to be the best thing, and then saying, okay, now y'all can go from the court and enjoy the time with the players. If y'all want to have the fans be happy and the players be happy of the team that won, that's how you do it. That's how it's going to have to be.
Or, you know, you just don't rush the court and, you know, celebrate the win in the stands. That's just me.
Yeah, but like you said, Nathan, that's not a foolproof plan, because let's say some no-name beats Duke, like a mid-major or something beats Duke. They didn't prepare for it. You know, that's kind of, you can't just at that moment say, no, don't storm the court. No, no, no. It's just going to happen. So there's got to be some, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like precautions set up beforehand to deal with it, just in case.
Easier said than done. It's why we're not working there.
Yep. All right, so we're going to college football here, guys. I know it is 2:26, 2:26. Nathan, I know that's a
happy 2:26. How many times have you watched the play today, Alex?
At least twice. And that's just because Twitter. I didn't look it up. I just saw it on Twitter and watched it about three different times.
I mean, Twitter is where you're going to see it.
Or X, sorry.
X. We're not calling it that, Alex. Come on, let's get out of that.
All right. So the first story we have for college football today is Eli Gold, the voice of Alabama football, will not return to the Crimson Tide Sports Network in the fall of 2024, and Chris Stewart will be taking over as full-time play-by-play announcer. Guys, what are your thoughts on this whole situation with Eli Gold being let go, even though he came out and said he really didn't want to go?
Well, my whole thoughts on it were, I mean, Eli Gold is coming off a tremendous time in his life where he's gone through this illness, and now I get he wants to come back, but after last season the energy he usually had was just not there, and he, you know, doesn't do away games, he doesn't travel much, and there's a lot of limitations to what he does, and that was something that was probably taken into account with this, but I think you turn towards more of Chris Stewart just doing an exceptional job in Yagold's absence for the reason why they decided to move towards Chris Stewart just taking over. And Chris Stewart's done a fantastic job. He was already doing a fantastic job with basketball before he moved on to football in place at Yagold last year or the year before that. And I think that's the main reason, but like with EI Gold and where he is now, he's just nowhere near the same. And I don't appreciate the way the university handled it in the Crimson Tide Sports Network. I felt like they should have, I know they tried to negotiate the deal, but it just really seemed like it was really wrong because EI Gold's a legend. And for him to be forced out like that and to be treated like that makes the university look bad. It makes the sports network look bad. And I felt like it could have been handled differently. But also I understand why they made the decision.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because it does come down to energy, and it does come down to, you know, Eli's on the very tail end of his career. And as much as it's going to hurt to not hear his voice, because he's so iconic. When you think of Alabama football, you think of his voice. And him not being there is going to be weird. It's going to be different, but Chris Stewart has done a phenomenal job stepping in. His energy is what we saw from Eli Gold, you know, when we had prime Eli Gold. And I think that's what, you know, the university is looking forward to and trying to get established as a permanent thing. So I understand it. I do wish they would have handled it a little differently. You know, just for the sake of Eli and his family, because he means so much to the University of Alabama and their football program and that sports network and everything for the university. So yeah, it's going to be weird not hearing Eli's names, you know, talking about Alabama football, but excited to hear what Chris has got. And I think he's going to be great as a full-time guy.
Yeah. Like I both said, I think it could be handled better from both sides. I think Eli Gold, like I both said, was towards the tail end of his career with being the voice of Alabama. Like y'all both said, his energy last season wasn't what it used to be, and that can be contributed to tons of different things, his age, what he dealt with previously. But you can't ignore what he did for 35 years before that. I mean, dude was the voice of Alabama football. If you asked a lot of people about Alabama football, one name that would probably come up would be Eli Gold. I mean, I don't know Alabama football like I talk about with Nick Saban. Without Eli Gold, I don't know what that is outside of the year he wasn't there, obviously, but it's going to be hard not to hear his voice almost all the home games, you know, now. It's just going to be weird, but I think Chris Stewart is going to do a great job. He did a great job in place of Eli Gold when he was out that entire season and then in away games. I think he did an amazing job. But I think, like Ebo said, the network could have handled it a lot better with all what happened. They could have kind of given him a swan song out, but you know, I'm not there making the decisions. I'm not Eli Gold. I'm not working for the network. So at the end of the day, it's what the decision they made, and that we just have to live with it.
Yep.
All right, moving on, guys. The College Football Playoff Board of Managers unanimously approved the 5+7 format with the 5 highest ranked conference champions, along with the next 7 highest ranked teams guaranteed spots. This format assures the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and ACC get a spot in the playoff as well as the highest ranked Group of 5 conference champion. The 4 highest ranked out of those 5 conference champions will get the first round bye. What are y'all's thoughts on this model going forward?
Well, I think it increases the value of winning your conference, especially, you know, one of the Power 4 conferences, because the Pac-12 has disappeared into existence.
4 Pac-12.
But winning one of these Big 4 conferences is going to mean something. It really is. Because winning one of those 4 conferences, you were going to get in the playoff. You win one of those four conferences and don't have three losses, you're going to get into the playoff no matter what. But now, you know, saying that the four highest ranked are the four that are going to get the byes in the seeding, I think that increases the value of winning your conference championship game, which I think is great. You know, and then allowing that group of five champion as well. You know, and they could end up getting the bye too. You never know. You never know if they could. We see one of them higher ranked than one of these. I don't know. We could get a three loss Big 12 champion that Coastal Carolina or Liberty deserves to be higher than. I like it. I like it. I think the first year is going to be kind of telling when it comes to this format and this 12 team playoff and the schedule that they've made, you know, going throughout December and January, basically, with this playoff. But I like where their head's at, and I'm excited. I can't wait.
It's weird. It's a weird time. Going from a 14 playoff to a 12 is a big jump. Not to mention they discussed a 14 team playoff, which I don't even know how that would look. But the 5-7 format, I think it gives a lot of grace to the conference champions, like it should. It's hard to win your conference. It's hard to get to the conference championship game, and not only to get there, but to win it. So it definitely gives a lot of reward and incentive for winning your conference. It's kind of weird seeing the group of five being considered for a top five spot. Seeing that we had the Pac-12 last year and how well it did, and now it's all gone. And that's just nostalgia right there. But moving forward, I expect things to be a lot more competitive. It kind of looks a lot more like college basketball if you think about it. The fight to kind of get that automatic qualifier into the playoff. So it's kind of like tournament time pretty much. But with the other seven bid spots, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. And you'll see a lot of teams from the same conference sneak in there. You think about the SEC, how competitive it is, and that the big look, the new look Big Ten, and how competitive it will be in the first year. It's going to be a different time, and I don't know what to expect from it yet. I couldn't tell you who would be in it. I can tell you who might be in contention. But at this point, I don't know where this is going to stand. All I'm excited about is once EA College Football 25 comes out, having to play the 12 team playoff and designing.
100%.
I don't know. That's just what I'm looking forward to. That's all I care about now. But it's weird. It's kind of like the NFL now.
Yeah. I wonder how long it's going to take fans to start complaining about this format, because we went from 2 to 4 and fans found within a year to complain about it. And they're just going to find another way to complain about this, regardless if it's 12, 14, 16, 52 teams. I mean, we're going to be like, oh, well, what about this team or this team? They did this and this and this. And it's always complaining. I don't think they're ever going to have the perfect format for the playoff. It's just going to continue to be argued over and over again.
Back to the BCS.
No, because it's only the two teams. And then, you know, you got Auburn over there, undefeated season, does it get in the BCS. So.
Oh, boo-hoo.
That's true.
I like this format a lot when it comes to getting the automatic qualifier. But do y'all think that teams are going to want to get the automatic qualifier and get that bye in favor of actually playing every game and not having to sit out and sort of take that rest where we see in the NFL? For teams that have that bye in the playoffs, sometimes struggle in that first game.
It's a lot different with like a college football season, because you talk about NFL and where they are. How many regular season games they play? 17, 18? I don't 18, know.
18. It's 17, because the 18 weeks there's a bye. Yeah.
It's a lot. And then you look at college football, and I think you include the kind of cupcake games at the beginning of the season. You kind of get your boot up games, whether that be week one or week two. And then I know in the SEC you get your kind of cool down games, kind of last week of the season or before that. So it's a little different. It's not the same pace that you would see in the NFL season, and it's also not as longer. So you can make an argument for playing through it and just trying to continuously build on momentum and continuing to be hot. But the amount of injuries in college football now, it's still very high. So I think coaches will still prefer to have that extra week of preparedness and to get injured players back. And having that bye is going to mean a lot to, you know, these bigger schools. You think about Alabama and Nick Saban, how many times Nick Saban used the time between the SEC championship and the first playoff game to just prepare and practice and get people back, and how much that paid off for him. And now I think we'll see a lot of different scenarios, a lot more coaches having more time to prepare for bigger games. And I think it will pay off in the end. But I also get what you're saying with like staying hot there, Alex, is if a team can stay hot, then there's no stopping them.
Yeah, 100%. I think the winning your conference championship and getting the bye is enough as like an award for that, because of what Nathan just said, like, getting healthy, getting rested, getting prepared, having more time to prepare, having time to watch these first round games. But I also think there's value in being, you know, teams ranked 5 through 8, you get to host a playoff game.
Yeah.
That is going to be huge. And especially coming right off conference championship week, you know, that's staying hot, that's staying in rhythm, getting back in your stadium. I think that's going to be huge, not only for, your teams to stay hot like that, but also, economically for the school. Imagine a Group of Five team hosting Ohio State in a playoff game. Imagine Ohio State having to go to Liberty and play a playoff game there in the middle of December.
Gosh, it's a real
that could happening. So I think the value of that is also really good. So I like the way they've done it, but it'll be interesting. It'll be telling this first year.
Yeah, I think the biggest argument is going to be between the 8 and 9 teams, because that's going to be who hosts the playoff game and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how they're going to fight between that, because
and they're going to play.
Majority of the time, neither of those teams are going to be conference champions, obviously. And you know, they might have the same amount of losses. They might have similar losses and similar wins. So I'm going to be interested in seeing how the committee kind of differentiates the 8 and 9 seeds, because like we've all pointed out, it's going to depend on who hosts the game and who's on the road. And that in college football, that's a big ordeal.
Just win your games. That's all I'm going to say.
Easier said than done, Nathan. Easier said than done. Especially the new look SEC and new look Big Ten.
I don't know. I'm just born winner.
You're born winner? Get you a shirt that says that?
Yep.
All right. Let's move on here to I guess you could call the NCAA a loser at this point. Because last week, a federal judge in Tennessee granted a preliminary injunction that prohibits the NCAA from punishing any athletes or boosters from negotiating a name, image, and likeness deal during the recruiting process or while they're in the transfer portal. Worth noting, this injunction is not the final ruling in the case. It's just sort of put out there so NCAA can't do anything about it. So at this point, any thoughts on this ruling, guys, with the name of the NIL and the negotiating stuff with boosters?
We're going to stop calling these student athletes. We're going to start calling them student employees, because that's what they are. This is not in every single college sport. This isn't amateur sports anymore. You know, not only has the level increased in college sports throughout men's and women's sports, but the rules have. They've completely changed. And now being able to negotiate these NIL deals and, you know, kind of mold them into where you want to go and further your education and play your college sports, that's going to be different. That's going to be very different. And it's going to be, you know, we talk all the time. It's all about the money. It's all about the money everywhere. And it's going to be even more about the money for a lot of these athletes. And this is going to go, you know, this isn't going to be just a Virginia and Tennessee thing. This is going to be a nationwide thing very, very soon. Because you can't have certain student athletes with the ability to mold their deals and deals designed for them to attend a certain school and, you know, 2 hours over and not have that, even though that is a state right. So the NCAA is done. They're done. They don't have anything left.
They're a complete joke at this point. They can't do anything.
This is going to be crazy, and it's going to be interesting to watch, you know, these athletes, these high school kids, these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, you know, negotiate these million-dollar deals because they're really good at playing football or basketball or baseball or something like that. That's going to be crazy. But they are employees. They bring in money for their schools. So, you know, that's the whole thing with name, image, and likeness, right? It's that they have a right to make money off of what they bring to a certain, you know, corporation, organization, just like you work at a job. That's what they're doing. And so they do have this right, which is why the NCAA is done. They're done.
Yeah. No, we've gotten to a point in college sports that, I mean, we're so far beyond like getting paid for like having people buy your jersey or some crap like that. This is basically, I mean, this is the NFL. Yep. You're getting paid for doing commercials. You're getting paid for doing these partnerships with like different foods or something. Oh, your name sounds similar to this product. Oh, you're going to be in their commercial. You're going to help promote this brand, and we're going to pay you millions for it. I don't like want to dog on high school athletes, you know, because they're just trying to make a living as well. I mean, if I'm coming out of school and I'm the best athlete in my sport, if I'm the best in basketball, then I would want my NIL to be high. I want to make money. I want to be able to do that. And plus, they're being able to have a full ride most of the time to go to school and learn while making money. I mean, that's the best of both worlds right there. They pretty much have a job already lined up. And if somehow college sports don't work out, they don't make it to the NFL, they already made a bunch of money. And plus, they probably got their degree if they you know, stick with the classes and everything. So I think there are good and bad sides of this. But it definitely helps them get a leg up against a certain competition. And now there's not really much of an incentive to, you know, learn in school. It's more like, how much money am I going to make? Am I going to continue to make money if I stay in school? I'm going to do the bare minimum stay in school. Or, you know, at this point, are they even doing their own schoolwork? Because, I mean, if the coach wants them on the team, how badly do they want them on the team? How much are they willing to sacrifice for that student athlete, as Gray would say? But it's basically like the NFL at this point. And if you want to have people, or like high school athletes employed and to come play for your school, I mean, let's just be honest, employ them. Like, let's go ahead and get to this point where we're saying, here, sign a contract for a college sport. You can help play for the college team. And it's basically like its own separate thing. It's not actual like connected to the university or something like that. That way there's no like saying, hey, they're not even being the student part of being a student athlete or whatever student employee. They're just, you know, doing the job they signed up to do. And I think that's different. And I mean, you can look at it like they should just go ahead and move on to the NFL. Well, the NFL is, I think, more of a pristine league than college football. There's, you know, yeah, high school, yeah, amateur level football kind of, and then college football makes that jump. It's been a little bit higher of competition now, I think, with NIL, with having more people stay that are probably NFL ready but want to make more money. And then you have NFL, which is all the way up here, which, I mean, you can't really compete there unless you're built to compete there. So I think it's just a different level to compete at. You can look at it as like another UFL, but with more money put into it. But you know, this is just me rambling here. I mean, it's never going to happen, or I don't know. It might, because everything's just a joke at this point. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know one thing: the NCAA is a joke, and it's going to be abolished here in a little bit. With the way things are going, NIL has ruined college sports, in my opinion.
Yeah, when the NCAA announced NIL was a thing and they just had no guardrails around it, I think everybody in the world was like, yep, and this is it. This is the downfall. And not to say players don't deserve to get paid or profit off their likeness and their name and their image, because they should. They should be able to do that. Johnny Manziel should have been able to profit off Money Manziel, Tyler Hansbrough, North Carolina. I mean, there's countless other examples of these players who are amazing in college and were the most notable college player. And they get to the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, or wherever they go, and they are not good. They just fall apart, and they sort of don't, and they don't make the money they should have made, they should have made during their time at college. So I think that the players should be getting paid for name, image and likeness, but there's got to be guardrails set up, because if you're just going to let athletes and the boosters sort of negotiate these deals, what's going to stop Texas or Alabama or Georgia from negotiating deals with all these top recruits? And then you have somebody like a group of five school, or like a Tulane, or
picking on Tulane
or something like that, that they don't have the money to compete with those schools. They just get these 2-3 no-star recruits. Not saying these recruits can't be good, but when those recruits get good, these higher tier universities are going to be like, yep, let me take Tulane's receiver here that just had 1,500 receiving yards. Let me go take Houston's receiver that just had 2,000 receiving yards, or the running back that just had 20 touchdowns. There's got to be some sort of guideline set up to where these teams just can't negotiate left and right and spend money out the wazoo. There's got to be, I guess there's got to be a salary cap like the NFL has, to where these teams are limited.
This is NFL football 2.0.
To where these teams can't just steal everything. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something set up, whether it's the NCAA sets it up, or the SEC and this Big Ten deal they had to group together or whatever, the pack they made sets it up. I don't know what they do, but there's got to be guidelines set up, because at this point, it's just going to be the same 10, 15 schools every year competing in all these sports, because they have the most NIL money towards it, and they're going to get the top recruits and the top transfers, and it's going to screw these teams. We used to see back in the day where we'd have a surprise team every once in a while in the top 10 or in the top 25. It's just not going to happen anymore. It's going to be a struggle for these teams these lower tier teams to compete in the NIL market. Moving on. I think this is the best story we have today. Everybody's
more
excited
about NIL.
This. More NIL.
Love NIL. Good,
I think this is the good NIL, though. This is a good NIL. EA Sports announced its name, image, and likeness plan for the first version of the new game coming out this summer. The plan is that every player who opts into the game will get $600 and a free copy of the game as a baseline payment, with the potential for more lucrative NIL opportunities. Do you guys like this plan for them to sort of incentivize the athletes to be in the game?
Yes. Yes. Put them in the game. That's the whole reason why we didn't have this game the past 11 years. Put them in the game. Pay them. Don't pay them a lot, because then EA is not going to have the money to hire developers who are good at making
that's a joke. I hope that's a joke. We're not going to act like EA isn't a $1 billion company who just has money out the wazoo.
Now,
I mean,
talking about the money, though, $600 and a free copy of the game, which the game's going to be $100, by the way.
I'll pay whatever amount.
$700 to each player.
Tell them to take my
$11,000. That's a lot. But they're going to get that back. The first 8 hours, this game is open to the public. No doubt about it. Especially if they do it right. Now, that's my problem. Are we going to do this
right? Don't jinx it, Gray.
All right. So I could go on a whole 30-minute tangent on if this game is like Madden.
I'm done.
I'm done. But obviously what we've seen thus far, we haven't seen anything outside of, yes, these what the players are going to get for being in the game, their likeness, and just some small things here and there, like no coaches. No, they're not going to pay the coaches. I think that's a first year thing. I don't think they just want to deal with that the first year, because I think those are million dollar a year contracts for the coaches, at least. And then like broadcast teams, gonna have multiple broadcast teams. No way, it's not monotone. That's a plus. That's better than Madden. We're starting good. You know, it's February. We're starting okay. This is something that we need to talk about come June, and give us our thoughts on that then, when we know a lot more, like obviously cover athlete, and then like gameplay and modes and features and all this sort of stuff that's going to come with the game. I'm super excited for the game. I'm way too excited for the game, because I'm going to get disappointed because it's Electronic Arts, but that's just me.
You know, like Gray said, we're gonna be real critics if this one comes out. So you have like a spectrum here. It's, you know, you have the good side of things is way over here, and then the bad side's way over here, and if they fall anywhere from here to here, then I'm gonna be saying some stuff about it. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Because the only version of the game I want is all the way over here. And they only have one chance not to screw this up. I mean, we've been waiting for this for years. And
10 years.
It's been a decade. It's been a whole decade since we got the last game. And we're just been over here salivating. We've had to suffer through playing Madden. Madden is a joke of a game. And we just continue to play it because it's the only football game we have. And now we're here. And you go back to this nostalgia of playing the last few NCAA games and just remembering memories from that. And now you compare it to what this game might be. And if this game doesn't live up to the hype, if EA messes something up, which, I mean, it's EA, they probably will. You're going to have millions of people upset. And that is a complete wrong thing to do. But I think they put a lot of effort into the game thus far. I mean, you can just see it with the amount of people they have implemented into the game, the commentary, play-by-play, all of that. I think that'll be exceptional through the roof. What they've done with the universities, asking them to share sounds of the stadium, I think that's a huge one. Adding in kind of real-life situations, I think that's gonna be a big thing. But I think all three of us are worried with like how the game will be played, playbooks, different styles like that, how a simulation, a lot of different other things like that. So yeah, you can definitely mess up here, but I think we're all three very, very excited for this game to come out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were worried, and then afterwards some people were complaining about the only $600 that these players were getting. And while I think $600 is not enough for some of these players, and you're going to see some of the players opt out, at this point, it's their first year remaking this game, I guess. They don't have the money right now. I mean, none of their billion-dollar company. But you don't just, to be a billion-dollar company, you don't just go out and give money, and then you don't have. And not saying they don't have it, but I think next year, the next generation of this game, that they'll probably increase the amount of money these players get. That'd be my assumption, because they'll say, oh, wow, we made X amount of dollars on this game. We can increase the amount we're paying these players, especially if they see some players opting out, some big name players opting out. But as of right now, it appears players are really buying into this. Within the first 12 hours, you had over 5,000 athletes opt into it. I saw Jalen Milroe did, Jackson Dart, Malachi Moore did, I believe. There's tons of other players that end up opting in so far. So obviously players are buying into it and opting in. And I'm excited for it. I know they're not going to have their face games in the game, because that'd be a lot of work to do considering the amount of players and the amount of rosters they're doing. 134 teams are in the game. So I completely understand that aspect. But I think EA, this is their make or break game. If they don't do it good, it's going to be all downhill for them, for the college football, for Madden, for whatever other games they make. It's going to just be all downhill, leave a bad taste in everybody's mouth. But I think they're doing all the right things. According to what's been released so far, the broadcast seems like, I'll mention the multiple of them. Chris Fowler said he's been reporting lines for over 2 years. So there's obviously a lot of voice lines in the game if he's been doing it for over 2 years. You also have Kirk Kirkfried alongside him. You got Reese Davis, Desmond Howard, David Pollock. So I'm assuming there's going to be some version of College Game Day on there. Jesse Palmer's on there, Kevin Connors. So they're making all the right moves, and there's no way they mess this up.
There definitely is, Alex.
There's no way you can mess this up.
Madden. I don't care if it's a different engine than Madden. I don't care.
No, it's the same. No. It's the same engine.
Same engine. Completely different team. Engine,
but it's different game mechanics, and they say that, but it's gonna be exact same. It's gonna be just like Madden, and I'm not gonna want to play it because I hate Madden. They have ruined Madden.
Yeah, we know about your Madden hatred. There's a deep hatred in Tart's heart toward.
There's a reason I only play 2K, and 2K gets me fired up too, but not as much as Madden does.
Yeah, it gets you fired up. But you, I can't remember, Nathan. You talked about the playbooks or whatever.
Yeah.
And they did point out that there's going to be 134 different ways to play the game in simulation and then on the field, which is enough. There's 134 different teams in the game. So every team's going to have a different way they play.
Yeah, guess what? I can get through that in about 24 hours. So they better figure stuff out.
That's a you thing, Nathan. That's not a common person.
Well, they should have prepared. I'm sorry.
They should have prepared just for Nathan?
Yeah, they should have had a completely separate version of the game just for me.
Look, going into this game, the biggest thing going into this game is going to be how they prioritize their modes. Got to prioritize the Dynasty and Road to Glory. If they prioritize the ultimate team mode more than the other two,
we'll make some money. Let's think about this logically.
It's been reported that they're not going to be a lot of micro train Jacksons in the game.
That's a lot of crap, Alex.
Like, I just don't think there's a way EA or 2K can just not put micro train Jacksons in a video game they make. They just have to. It's like an itch. They just have to have it to make money over and over again for people. But I wouldn't be spending money on that game. I'll buy the game. I'll be playing Dynasty and Road to Glory. I'll be playing the ultimate team of college football.
He says this now.
That doesn't get me excited. Comparable to
he says this game. Before the game comes out.
And book it, Nathan. Write it down.
I will write it down. I will keep a note of this, and we're gonna revisit this when the game comes out and we start playing it, because I have a very good feeling about what you're gonna be end up doing with the game.
Yeah, Dynasty. Well, we'll have a Dynasty, and everybody will play it.
Yeah, and then what happens after that? What happens when you get bored with that?
Road to Glory.
And what happens when you get bored with that?
Back to Dynasty.
You see, there's a gap there. There's a little bit of a pause.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening and watching, Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.